Hello, good afternoon, good morning, good evening, and welcome to an ABW radio show. I'm not Chris, that's all you need to know. John, if you're here, say yes.
Hello.
Josh, are you here? Say yes.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Right, on with the thing. Bournemouth 3, Arsenal 3. Ho, ho, ho. Ding dong. Right, get straight into it. John, what was your summary of the game?
It was so good, I was typing in the chat box. it was 60 plus minutes of an absolute shit show from Arsenal. Really, really good performance from Bournemouth. I thought they played really well. And then we woke up. Left it too late. Has echoes of the Southampton game. Was it last year or the year before? And just that one game a season where we just completely just don't turn up at all. Think we're going to cruise to an easy victory. Don't put in the performance or the effort. Get turned over by a decent team. Not, you know, Bournemouth aren't spectacular. They play nice football, but they're no world beaters. I thought the comeback and getting the goals is nice and everything, but getting a 3-3 draw, you know, whether it's 3-3 or 1-1 or whatever, draw away to Bournemouth is terrible. We've had, I think it's 2 points we've got from our away games against the top 10. All season, something like that. That's not good enough form. That's never going to win you the league or even challenge for it. And if things keep going like that, that's risking even, you know, top four position. Makes it even worse the fact Chelsea and Tottenham play tomorrow. So I know some people are happy with the comeback and everything and the three goals we got back. I just think it's fucking disgraceful. To be honest, the performance I thought is dreadful.
Well, I don't think anyone can argue with much about that. Josh, who I may refer to you as Ellis at some point during this show, or Ross, I might call you any of those four-lettered words, E-L-L-I-S, four or five-letter words. What do you think? What's your thoughts on it?
Oh, sorry. And also, just Happy New Year, everyone. Hey!
Has it been a happy New Year so far for us Arsenal fans? Bollocks. It's a better New Year than it is for Mike Phelan. Poor old boy.
That's true.
Yeah. So what's your thoughts on the game?
Like John said, it was reminiscent of that Southampton game on, was it Boxing Day last year, where we absolutely capitulated to a 4-0 defeat. I thought this would be a routine win. It was anything but, and it's one of those games where almost all analysis during the game goes out the window because you just don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. It was harking back to kind of banter era defending, where any counter-attack that came from Bournemouth, especially in the first half, you thought we were just going to get cut open and it was going to be a lot worse than the 2-0 we saw at half-time. But overall, it's good that we got it back to 3-3, but there's still a lot of issues that are being kind of papered over by this result.
Are you worried that it's no longer just the big teams we shit our pants against, that it's now the smaller teams and away teams?
There's always been one bogey team. We've had it. Used to be Swansea.
We've got loads.
Yeah, used to be Swansea, used to be Stoke. We seem to have got over
them. It was Bolton.
Yeah, looks like it's Bournemouth now. We were Birmingham as well was one of ours.
Yeah, especially in cup finals.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, right. Now, as usual, people, I have made notes as we go through the game. And all I'm going to say is about halftime, it went a bit wonky. So my next note that I've made is Bellerin's headband. Was that a tribute to Ozil, John? And have you ever donned a headband of that?
An Alice band? No, I have never. I don't have the luscious locks that Bellerin has. If I grow my hair, then I just go Jackson 5 era straight out. In all directions. I used to have a giant afro. I got drunk and then woke up a year later and I had an afro. It's very strange. Anyway, that's another story. Do I really have to talk about his Alice band?
If you had to have a guess at one member of ABW that probably does wear an Alice band quite regularly, I mean, he may be Antipodean, I'm not sure. Who would you guess?
It's clearly the pirate, isn't it? The man who's not here with us, he must wear an Alice band. I've seen him wear one, surely.
Oh, well, he does, but he's allowed to. He's a pirate, and I mean someone else, more bronzed, for a bit of a funny accent, hates the
really?
Snow.
Oh, Dom. Oh, the filthy Aussie. Does he really?
He does. I've heard from ladies that he wears his Alice band and he just runs around naked
Whilst doing his weekly shopping. He mocks my beard and he runs around in an Alice band.
It's a sickening, sickening sight. In fact, my mum wants to know where he is so she can go and try and catch him. It's disgusting. Josh, what's your thoughts on the Alice Band? Because that is very, very important.
It's probably the best thing about his game today. And his Alice Band was fucking shit.
Why is he wearing it? Why do people wear them?
I think it's because he found himself in Thailand over the winter break and now he's just some kind of gap year wanker and definitely vegetarian, which is why he's now shit.
You're saying that. So my very own offspring is on a gap year and she went to Fiji for a month. She's a wanker. She's a gap year wanker. It cost her a fortune though, silly moo. Yes, what was I going to say next? Oh, how long do you think it will be before Mr. Bellerin starts wearing a choker to match his Bam Alice Band? Is that something we need to worry about? John?
Well, I don't, you know, if it improves his performance from tonight, then fine, he can wear one. It doesn't really bother me too much. It's probably against the FA rules, though, like when you couldn't wear snoods anymore. I doubt you can wear a choker either.
A snood?
Yeah.
Is that a creature from Doctor Who?
It's like a, well, I don't know, it's not a scarf because it's... It's a hat with an extra hole in the top.
I can imagine Ozil wearing one.
Yes, there you go. You used to, but you're not allowed to wear them in the Premier League. Nasri and Tevez and all that used to wear them, didn't they?
Dirty fuckers.
Yeah.
Right, Josh, we shall move on to my next point. This is a sensible one. We started out with, because all the furore for Wavi before the game kicked off was, oh my God, he's playing Ramsey wide right. If I shout people, that's because I've got two headphones on and I forget that I can't hear myself. Well, I can, but only after I've said it. People are going mental, going, oh my God, he's playing Ramsey on the right hand side. That's it. Bellerin's fucked. Bellerin's going to get no support. The game starts. We've got Sanchez wide left. We've got Ramsey in the Ozil hole and Iwobi on the right hand side. What was your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so Bellerin was still fucked because he had a Iwobi in front of him.
He's even more fucked.
Exactly, which didn't help his performance. And I thought it was expected that Rambo would start through the middle. I saw three different formations, all that just didn't look right. Rambo is that, not replacement for Ozil, but that's where he's going to sit. He's going to play behind the striker. Exactly. He's just going to sit in behind. And I wasn't surprised with the lineup at all. I thought maybe we'd see Lucas Perez or the Ox start. But yeah, they came on later afterwards. I thought Coquelin was an obvious choice to come in, to be honest, without Nenny going to the African Cup of Nations. But his first 27 minutes he had on the pitch, perhaps it was a good thing he got injured.
I did actually tweet that's a good thing because I get my dream Arsenal partnership of Ramsey and Xhaka in midfield. John, what was your thoughts on those? They're not called, what would you call them? They're not the midfield three or the front three, are they? How do we refer to them?
Useless three at the moment. I don't know. I thought that it'd be Ramsey starting on the right, honestly, and Iwobi in at 10. But that wasn't the way it lined up. And I thought at the start of the game, you know, we looked okay. Bournemouth had a few attacks. We knew they would because they play open football and we like to play open football as well. Yeah, we're going to have more of the ball, but at some point we do turn it over. And Bournemouth are obviously going to try and hit us on the break. So I wasn't too worried. But the first goal came from just shocking, you know, Bellerin out of position, the midfield pair of them, Xhaka and Coquelin being out of position. And it was the one time Ramsey and Iwobi had swapped positions at that point. Iwobi had gone to the middle and Ramsey had sort of come out to the right. I mean, like Josh said, Iwobi doesn't really cover his fullback at all or help out. I do think the goal's more Bellerin's fault because he got done so easily by Charlie Daniels. But having someone in front of you to help defend every now and again is useful. So I just thought that it would have made more sense for Ramsey playing the right. I don't particularly like him playing there personally, but just in that setup, you know, we've already seen what Iwobi can do at 10. I think he's better in that position than he is from wide. So it was a bit of a weird choice from the first go.
I know our very own Steve, Lord Hillwood, was having kittens screaming into his phone, leaving us these angry messages saying that why the fuck is Sanchez playing wide left? Why the fuck are we playing Giroud up front? And we've got all these players who are playing in the wrong position and no one's putting in deep reaching balls for Giroud to do what Giroud does best. He's either going to scramble it in or he's going to put it in with a header or be dominant in the air and knock it down for someone else to put it in, which is... kind of how we scored our first goal. We're not going to get to that point just yet. The next night I've made is 11th minute, check on Wilson, penalty. What's your thoughts on that, Josh? Was it a penalty?
No, I thought it was a good challenge. I think the
We're always
crowd
going to say that
wanted
though,
it.
aren't we?
Well, yeah, but I thought the crowd, well, the reactions of the Bournemouth players kind of tells you where they thought about the challenge, that they weren't really going for it, protesting as much as the crowd were. So I've put it down. I've got it in my notes as well that Callum Wilson's breaking the back line because both teams were playing a very, very high back line, which kind of compressed our midfield, which is where the problems with Coquelin kind of came from. But yeah, I think not a penalty for me. I think Cech just did well.
I agree with you, John.
Yeah, no pen. And I'd like to, for once, the only time I'm going to reference the referee, I think he got pretty much every single decision spot on today. I thought he was really good, Michael Oliver. Made the sending off was right. I think the penalty they gave was the correct decision. I thought going back to book someone after letting play go on for like a good 2, 3 minutes. I thought he was superb today, and it's nice to not have to whinge about the ref for once or use it as an excuse.
He had the advantage quite a few times as well, which was to our detriment, but it was the right thing to do.
But it was the right thing to do. So he did, yeah, he did really well today, the ref. But yeah, I think he got that spot on along with pretty much every other decision. So yeah, I mean, Wilson didn't overly appeal for it, and like Josh said, it's true. You can normally tell from the players around him if they're really irate and really going for it, then you can tell that the ref probably got something wrong. But Matt got it spot
Sure, you don't want to be an Arsenal fan like me and just go, definitely not a penalty.
on.
It's easier that way.
No. Well, yeah, all right, but I just thought I'd be nice about the referee for once because normally I
Nah,
moan about
fuck him. He let them score three offside goals. I mean, that penalty was definitely offside. All right, next thing I've got, 15th minute. Now, I rewound this. This is why I was a minute or so behind everyone else. Eight passes from a throw-in. Huge cross-field pass to Daniels, who didn't have an Arsenal player near him. If you'd have put a 20-yard radius around him, no one would have pinged on his radar. A 20-yard radius turns Bellerin inside out and puts it under check. With Josh, you wanted to make a... I still haven't called you the wrong name. So it's working brilliantly. You wanted to make a point on Cech and the way that he's conceding goals and talk a little bit about that goal.
I think Bellerin was absolutely awful, not only in his positioning, because he does actually get back to then get somewhere near Charlie Daniels and just makes an absolute hash of trying to defend out. And then Cech beating at his near post for a change. I think it's becoming such a regular thing. We need a klaxon for it because it's not been the first time and it's not been the last time that he'll get beaten at his near post for things that he should be saving, especially a goalkeeper of that lauded quality. But yeah, I think from looking at the replays, Ramsey's saying something to Bellerin, whether or not he's telling him there's a man on his shoulder and the guy's ignoring it. I don't know.
I mean, like, she's Alice Ban, where did he get it?
Yeah, probably. It's probably nothing to do with the game at all. He was just saying, oh, nice Alice band. Oh, by the way, there's a guy behind you. He's just gone
Too
that out.
late.
Fine. Yeah,
The
exactly.
amount of space. Someone actually did a tweet, and they—I don't know. Maybe it was on their the whatever channel they were watching at, because it wasn't on Sky Sports. But they had the player down on that side, and they had a red circle around him, and it was just complete. But in fact, some of our supporters in the crowd were closer to the player than any of our 11 players on the pitch were. Just I can't remember seeing anything that bad for ages, and I've seen some really
Can
bad.
I just come in on that goal? Because that was unbelievable. The amount of time and space he had was ridiculous. What Josh is talking about, where Ramsey has a little shout at him, I think he's covering who's the little short guy they got? We made him
Brian
look like
Fraser.
Fraser, yeah, we made him look like fucking Pele tonight. Bellerin's covering him, and then he goes past Bellerin, and he should be passing him on to Koscielny, who hasn't got a man. He's already had a look. He can see Daniels behind him. Ramsey's telling him Ramsey can't cover Daniels because he's covering Harry Arter, his man in midfield. But he's also now come wider right. Iwobi's in the middle when he should be out on the right, getting back, helping Bellerin, and he's not. But ignoring all the players who are completely out of position, when Daniels gets the ball, Bellerin just showing down the outside. Why are you letting him come inside so easily? Like, I'm not going to pick on Bellerin out of everyone because I thought no one had a good game tonight. But Bellerin was really poor. It's one of the worst performances I've ever seen him make. But it was so easy for him to get past him. Just always just show him down the outside. How many times have we seen Arsenal fullbacks do this? Monreal got caught a couple of times as well on the other side by Stanislas. It was pathetic. And then, yeah, Cech getting beat, a couple of times tonight. I think he could have done better. It's becoming a bit of an issue. I was just wondering, actually, talking about Cech, Would either of you bring in Ospina for a game?
All the games for the rest of the year.
Forever and ever.
Fuck check. Bring back Chesney.
Because normally when our goalkeepers are having a bad run of it, it's because our defenders are shit. But we have got our best left back, our best right back, and our two best centre backs. And he's still not managing to shut the balls down and not be as dominant as you think he would be. Now, I'm not going to go and look at it because it'll make me cry, but yes, because he did a hell of a lot of goals this season, hasn't he? And they seem to come in batches. I mean, at one point in the season, we'd gone 7 clean sheets in 8 games. Now, how has it gone from one to the other? So, yeah, maybe. But I think he's too much of a pro to be let being dropped affect how he plays one way or another. Yeah.
I think what he's done is, just looking at his performances over this whole season, he's not communicating with the back four as much as he has been doing in previous years, which I think was where the strength has come, that he's been talking the defence through it. But he seems to have dropped that from his game this year, and it's definitely costing us, because I think that he was probably the best, like, mentally defender that we've got there, because Koscielny does need a man to talk him through the game. As however good he is, he's always had Mertesacker next to him for our best periods, or now Mustafi, who also will talk him through the game. But on his own, he needs someone there, and I think Cech's not offering that support at the moment, which is why I think he also needs to be dropped, not just for this near post issue, but for what he's giving the rest of the team.
But Cech is only 34, though, isn't he? Or 35? How old is he? He's 34.
We can bring him back in a couple of seasons.
But no, when we bought him...
Has there been a dip in Cech's performances since perhaps his goalkeeping coach has changed? From a very good one at Chelsea to a certain one at Arsenal.
Don't say that in case Steve's listening. He'll have a fucking coronary. What are you on about? The fucking the windmill?
Yeah, the Payton.
The Morris dancer.
Jerry Payton. Oh, dear. He's probably gone. I've forgotten everything I've ever known about goalkeeping. Jerry's probably hypnotised him to forget it all. He's gone full Almunia, and you should never go full Almunia.
It's weird, though, because in some games of the season, Cech's made some really, really good saves. Pulled off some great saves that have kept us in games. But yeah, I don't think he had his best game tonight. The other thing I was going to ask about that is, obviously, our midfield has been chopping and changing a lot during games. I know we'll get back to this game specifically, but you know, if you keep changing the defence and the midfield in front of it, then your goalkeeper isn't going to get as much protection. And we're letting a lot of shots on goal at the moment compared to other teams. Do you think it was right to bring Mustafi straight back into the team for Gabriel?
I think that may have had it. Is it? It's not usually a good idea, is it, to chuck a player back in like that? What sort of injury did he have? That's the sort of thing Don would answer, isn't it? Whether that injury is one where you can just come straight back in again, or whether you have to start from the bench and get a couple of games back. But he's not been out that much, has he?
He hasn't been out long.
3 weeks, hamstring. I think it was 3 weeks with a hamstring.
No, I think it's probably right to bring him back straight back in.
I thought Gabriel should have played this game, to be honest. And
well,
given...
you love Gabriel. That doesn't count.
Well,
I don't think Gabriel's particularly done anything wrong, has he?
No.
Yeah. So
I'm just looking. You know what about the goalkeeping coach? We had Eddie Nijewski, didn't we, at Arsenal? And then I'm just looking where he is now. He's joined Stoke in 2013. So he was one of our good goalkeeping coaches. Doesn't get anywhere near Sir Bob Wilson. But it is a worrying point, I suppose. So what is the consensus? I just said, yeah, we might as well bring Ospina in because Cech's having a nightmare. John, what did you say?
I don't think it can hurt. I think Cech is probably the better keeper overall. I just think I don't know if it's form or something at the moment. He just doesn't seem to be making the saves that you expect from him in the game. So I don't think there's too much of a risk putting Ospina in. I do get a little bit jittery when the ball comes in the box because he's so short and he's got no neck. But I think for one game, it's not too bad. But yeah, just having a stable defence in front of you as a goalkeeper and then the midfield two in front of that is what really helps goalkeeper most, I think.
And Josh was a yes. I'm just looking at the Opta, and Daniel's their left back, an assist and a goal, 8.3. Fraser, the left midfielder, according to this, 8.6 and a goal. And they were up against Bellerin, 5.5 and a yellow card, and Iwobi, 5.7 and taken off.
How did Bellerin score that high?
Did he get our lowest score of the year? He got our lowest one. It's 5.7, 5.5, 5.7. Cech got a 6.5. Mustafi and Koscielny a 6.4. Any idea why Koscielny come off and Monreal got a 6.4 as well? There again, when you can see three goals in that length of time.
Delaney is a groin strain, I think.
Is it that permanent niggle that he's had for 2 years?
No, it's not the, what's it called?
Achilles tendonitis.
That's it, yeah. Yeah, it apparently wasn't that. I think it's groin strain. So,
right, back to my legendary notes. 19, Mustafi fouls, ref played advantage. Fraser gets the ball and runs down the side of the box, and Xhaka fouls him as he tries to cut. Well, he was starting to make the cut in, wasn't he? Josh, was it a penalty? I mean, you have to say yes, don't you?
Yeah, it was soft, but completely careless from Xhaka. I think John would probably be able to say a little bit more on his Xhaka's previous on being a bit careless in the tackle.
He could have it as an Arsenal fan, though. He does it every bloody week. That's why Wenger got fed up with him in the beginning, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was, well, for me, that's definitely a foul and it's a penalty. Yeah, it's a little bit soft, but why he's making the tackle there, I've got no idea. He doesn't need to push him. He's running away from goal. Again, just shut him out towards the byline. You know, show him outside. He's not getting anywhere near the goal there. So stupid tackle. But the whole build-up from it, you know, losing the ball in a stupid position and then not clearing it. Instead, we try and make a nice little neat pass in a place where we shouldn't. And again, it comes back to this issue we've talked about a couple of times on the radio show. Coquelin being really high up the pitch and Xhaka being the deeper one. Great, Xhaka can pass the ball from there. That's wonderful. He can pass the ball from anywhere on the pitch. He doesn't have to be that deep. You know he's going to make silly fouls like that. Coquelin, great at tackling, not much else. Just sit in front of the back four, defend. You know, the defence was out of position for that ball anyway and was a bit of a mess and a shambles. Our whole shape was generally through the game. But if Coquelin's sitting deeper, he's the one who's going to get back there and be sensible, hopefully, and just shepherd him out. You know, why Xhaka's the man doing that in the team, I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense. But just complete idiotic decision by him. Nailed on pen for me. The only thing that surprised me is that he didn't completely lose his rag and just punched the ref or something. Because after that, it was a couple of fouls he got blown against him and he started whinging a bit. And having watched him for Gladbach for a long time, normally if he gives away a penalty or he gets booked or something, then he normally loses his rag and just gets fed up and just two-foots someone straight in the knee. Just he's like, oh, I can't be bothered anymore. Just fucking tries to whinge at someone. He did try and start a fight, I think, at one point. That was Perez, sorry. That was later on, tried to start a scrap without the ref looking. I like him, little snidey bastard. Anyway, sorry, back to the penalty.
Yeah, but where's Bellerin? I can't remember where Bellerin was being. Was on the pitch at the time.
Yeah, he was. He was ahead of it. He got done by the pass and just the run by... I don't want to... It's, you know, individual one player getting all the criticism, but he was really, that is the worst performance I've seen from him ever. That reminds me of someone put it in the chat. Funky Dino put in the chat about Callum Chambers when he got roasted by Montero that game against Swansea. Oh, where he just had a dreadful game. Not all his own fault, but just not, you know, just one of those games you just completely want to forget and never see again. So
Yes, it was. I watched it, rewound it, and watched it a few times. I thought it does almost look like the line is there, and he's coming, running at it like that. So if he'd have just gone and let him go, then there's no way at that speed he would have been able to control it, and he probably would have lost it, and then they wouldn't have had the penalty, and then we'd have beaten them 5-1. Did you want to add anything to that, to Josh, before we move on?
No, I'm sure we're going to mention a little bit later how poor Bellerin was through the rest of the game.
Bellerin for me gets a pass because he's that bloody good. Right, 20th minute, Sanchez.
Did you not want to talk about Cech's amazing penalty record, Josh?
Oh yeah, that's pretty awful. I think he's faced 8 penalties as Arsenal goalkeeper and managed to save 0 of them. I think we have had one that's missed against us, but I think it was Jonathan Waters hit the post. Doesn't really count.
We always mind we want consistency. There you go. We have it at last. So 20th minute, Sanchez and Ramsey arguing. Any of you to have any idea what the problem was or what they're arguing about? And was Sanchez threatening to have Ramsey murdered?
I'm guessing Sanchez was moaning, saying, why aren't the rest of you good at football like me? Ramsey was moaning, saying, why is no one getting on the end of my amazing flicks? And then hopefully Sanchez looked at himself at half-time in the mirror and went, oh, actually, I've been really shit as well and done nothing throughout the entire fucking game. So that's maybe why they're a bit nicer to each other in the second half.
Josh, do you think he summed it up perfectly?
Yeah, it was that or Rambo's committed adultery on Atom and Humber, thinking they were a sheep.
Oh,
you know,
Jason, I'll have you.
Our Mr. Davis is in the chat box ruling with Welsh justice and an iron fist. He can easily find out where you live and murder you.
I'm going into hiding.
I think you need to retract that and say sorry to all the Welsh people listening, including Gimli, who is Welsh. Right, next point. Number 25? No, 25th minute. Cock holding back at the back of his thigh.
Sorry?
The ox on. What?
Cock hold.
I've put cock hold. See, when I put that, I can't spell Cockland, like I can't spell Koscielny either. So I just put cock and cos. So I put cock holding the back of his thigh. The ox on, ox wide, Ramsay deeper. Finally, I get to see Xhaka and Ramsay. Has anybody heard anything about cock's injury? The cock injury. I'm not going to be drawn into your silly, childish ways of saying cock and giggling.
I haven't heard anything, but if anyone in the chat has heard anything about Copperland's injury, please feel free to post it in there, and then we will give you a little nod.
And was it right that that the ox came on and played wide? Because personally, who did he take off? I mean, what else could he have done? Josh, what else could he have done in that situation rather than me try and think about it? I'll just get you to do it. It's easier.
What's that? Rather than taking the cock off?
No. Once you're replacing the cock with the ox, that was the right thing to do, wasn't it?
That's what I thought needed to happen anyway, because the cock was having an awful game. He couldn't string a pass together. It was just bouncing off it and causing most of our problems, because the midfield was just completely cramped and bottled up by both teams playing high lines, just compressing that midfield. We needed someone a little bit neater in there with their feet, and Coquelin's basically like playing with a brick wall in there.
True. There you go. So I didn't notice, but when Ramsay dropped back into the Coquelin position, was Ramsay doing what Coquelin does and running forward the whole time? Because I swore quite often Ramsay was deeper playing than Xhaka was. Did I imagine that?
He was trying to get on the ball to affect the game more, but you saw as soon as that formation changed and he went back to centre mid, I think he won the ball back, played it out to Monreal, gave it to Sanchez, and immediately made a 40, 50-yard run for Sanchez to swing the ball in, which he just missed getting on the end of. So we had a man getting beyond Giroud, which we didn't have when he was playing at 10. Before we had that substitution. So I do think that's his better position. I just think at that point, 2-0 down, we started to play a little bit better towards the end of the first half, but we still weren't great. We just weren't keeping the ball and ticking it over, and Bournemouth were quite happy to sit in at spells and then pass it round us. And they just outplayed us for the majority of that first half, to be honest.
Ain't that the truth? So where am I now? Oh, 28th minute. I had a kitten at this point. Sanchez to Ramsay. Ramsay turns on the spot, shoots wide. Unlucky. That shows what Ramsay can do. What's your thoughts on that, Josh?
Yeah, he was definitely, once he's moved into that central position, he was definitely doing a lot better. I think Ramsay works a lot better with a striker who's a bit more mobile than Giroud, someone that moves out of the way, especially for Wales. He's always played behind someone a bit like Robson Kanu, or maybe Bale, who's going to move away from that position and give him the space to then get into the box. And it was absolutely superb from him and was the start of not necessarily the comeback, but showed signs that we were still in the game.
You don't call it a comeback because I've never been gone. As OL Cool J once said, John, what's your thoughts on Ramsay? that little incident, I thought it was one. That just shows what he can do.
Yeah, no, that's what you want to see from Ramsay, and you want to see him back to that form, that season where he got all the goals. And, you know, if he hadn't played the way he did that season, I don't think we would have finished. We probably wouldn't have got in the top four. Did we finish third that year? It might be third or second. I can't remember now. But, yeah, he's had so many injuries that he just hasn't been able to put together a run of games, because he still looked like he was out of breath. Sort of late on in the game and sort of running out of steam a bit, which is very rare for him because he's normally got the engine and can keep going all game long. So that's where I want to see him played more often. I think the best we've ever seen of him was when he played there and he played next to Arteta, and Ozil was just in front of him. The system is slightly different. So I hope we get to see that. I mean, I guess we're going to have to now. If Coquelin has got any sort of long-term injury, that will be the midfield too. But yeah, you know, for a team that had, I don't know, what was it? I think Jason was saying like 12 different midfield pairings we've had for the season. We're down to what, two players now? maybe three if Ox plays in there. With Elneny gone and Santi out, Coquelin injured for I don't know how long at the moment. So yeah, he's going to have to. And hopefully, I know there's lots of people in the chat that don't like Ramsey. I still don't know why, but you know, everyone's got their favourites.
While Jace is there.
Yeah, they are saying it whilst Jace is there, so watch your backs. I don't know why, but that's going to be the midfield pairing, I guess, from here on, for a while at least.
Good. That's what I want to see, because then we'll be able to see what happens when you have one bloke who can dominate the midfield and another bloke who can get forward, pass, and, well, do a little bit like the wonderful Santi did. I saw a tweet earlier from, I can't remember who it was by, it said, Arsenal have now failed to win 50% of their 12 Premier League games since Cathola was injured. They won 6 in a row before that. There you go. That's
ooh, here's I know we've got a new rule for this show, listeners, that I'm allowed to interrupt Danny if there's a question pops up in the chat.
Yes, you are.
Nikki Wilson has just asked, why has Elneny gone yesterday, but Zaha is going tomorrow and play for Palace today? Could we have not kept Elneny for this game? No, I'm not saying he would have made a huge difference, but it's another option on the bench starting.
I think I can answer this one because I'm currently trying to put together a preview for the Cup of Nations, and I've got a feeling that Egypt play before the Ivory Coast, so that's why he's got an extra game out of it. Same as Mane, Senegal kickoff later, I think, as well. I think Egypt are in the first group, so play on the opening night, hence him going earlier. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the reason why.
It's either or Wenger is too tight and he's sent him via Ryanair. Always told him, he's told him to walk. It's going to be something along those lines, isn't it? See if I can find out. No, I'm not going to do that. You can go and look it up, people. But yeah, that sounds like. Plus, they might have a more friendly or something like that. Or it might be something as simple for the World Cup. I know England and Wales, they joined up for the national team. Wherever they meet up, they meet up at different times as well. So it could be anything. But I'm going with what Josh says. Here we go. 40th minute. There's a big gap there of 22 minutes of nonsense. Finally, a run down the right wing and a good cross by the Ox, which I thought was a thing of beauty. And that, for me, is what the Ox does best. Run at the speed of light, put a cross in, and he's never scared to do that. John, what was your thoughts on the Ox's, maybe the Ox's, that cross and his, I've forgotten the bloody word, performance in the first half. There you go, that'll do.
Well done. I thought that was the one thing he probably did. He was very quiet when he came on. He didn't affect the game enough. The cross was decent, and he did that a couple of times. I think he got the... Did he put the cross in for the first goal that Giroud flicked on? I think that was the Ox as well, wasn't it? Again, it was the same thing of... it was a bit like the Palace game where you're playing Giroud up front and you've got some pace on the wings in Alexis or Iwobi, you know, then the Ox, obviously, when he came on, and you're not crossing the ball to him, which, you know, it just doesn't make sense. Why not, you know, do it earlier? I'm not saying just ping the ball long from minute zero, but, you know, use the width and the pace that we've got in the team and use the striker's best ability, which is in the air. You know, he's really strong. He can bring it down with his chest in the box with defenders around, and we've seen him do that. We can see him score great headers. So it was a bit strange we didn't do it earlier and more often in the game as well. I got a bit fed up in the first half with Oxlade-Chamberlain, Iwobi doing the same, coming inside instead of running to the byline, crossing it. Alexis, I know, will do that in games, always comes in on the right. And I thought he was guilty of giving the ball away too much as well from those wide positions. And it must be really frustrating if you're Giroud, because if he makes a run, chance to make that run, because he is so slow. If they don't fire that ball into him and it's not perfect, then he's not going to be able to affect the game. Then you've got to come back onside, and by that time the defence is set up and you're not going to be able to swing the cross in. The amount of times you just hit the ball first time when the ball comes out to you, don't even take a touch. As it comes at your feet, just whip it in first time, bit of pace on it, and get it into that near post, and Giroud will attack it. And we're going to get more goals like that. So I just think we played too much like as if we had Sanchez up front still, playing through the middle rather than Giroud, which, you know, just that really irritated me.
Is that it?
Yeah, I mean, I could go on and moan all night if you want, mate, but I don't think people want to hear me whinging all the time.
Yeah, it's very true about Giroud. That's what we were saying about Steve going mental, because Giroud, you really have to play, unless he's going to scorpion kick every single game, which he's not going to do. So you have to have a very specific area where you're going to put the ball into him, and they just weren't doing that. Josh, were you impressed by the Ox when he first came on and in the first half?
Yeah, I do like what the Ox is bringing to the group, especially in the last couple of games. It's a nice, refreshing change to have a winger that knows how to put a fucking cross in as well, which we seem to have missed for a while. But yeah, he played really well, I think, in this game, and was one of the shining lights, as well as Giroud, for the performance and the comeback overall.
Yeah, because I think that it's sad, but it's like always like angry Giroud when he comes off the bench. I like the Ox when he comes off the bench, because it's usually after about 67.6 minutes, and then the other teams are just not ready for him, and so he can weave his magic. But if he starts the game, then he's not always as effective as when he comes off the bench. Oh, here we go. 40th minute again. I've put again! Exclamation mark. This time by Bellerin. Giroud not happy. Do we know why he wasn't happy? Apart from the fact that the Bellerin is more of a cross-come shot. If that had been against us, that would have gone in. Do you know the one I'm on about, John?
I think so. I think Giroud was just fed up with people just not putting it in the box to him. And Bellerin, again, you're making me pick on Bellerin. Every time you mention his name, you're like, say something bad about him.
He's one of the best young right-backs in the world, isn't he?
No, he is. He's wonderful. You know, anyone can have a terrible game. Unfortunately, near enough, our entire 11 had a terrible game for 70 minutes, so it didn't really help. But yeah, again, another bad cross. But that pretty much, that kind of, you know, miss hit, miss control, the ball not going where we want to, turning it over to Bournemouth, who then spring an attack and play nice football and play it round us, you know, take the piss at times, kind of summed up the first half.
Josh, who did you say had gone to the African Nations already? I mean, hadn't gone yet.
Hadn't gone.
Was it Zaha?
Zaha hadn't gone because he played this evening and scored.
He did.
But I thought Mane hadn't gone either.
Who does Mane play for?
Liverpool.
I'm just looking here, and Egypt have got a friendly in 5 days against Tunisia. So
that'll do it.
Yes, I'm losing track of what I'm on about now.
I think Zaha probably wouldn't have gone as well, because he's only just signed up for the Ivory Coast. So they probably haven't even integrated into the team yet.
Although I didn't know, but he was born there.
Yeah, I didn't realise.
Someone
either.
Made that point. I thought he was a London boy, but apparently not. Yeah, so going back to playing for his roots. Isn't that what Iwobi did, wasn't he, from Nigeria? And then he's played for England at different levels, and now he's gone back to play for Nigeria. Good. Yeah. More the merrier. That's what I say. Stop being drawn by the big light of playing for England, because England is shit. So my last note of the first half, 47th minute. What the fuck was Iwobi doing? Giving the ball away so Ramsey had to make a foul and got booked. Any idea, Josh, what happened there? Because I don't know if anyone else knows, but the Sky Sports coverage at points was fucking awful. At one point, they zoomed the camera in on Bold, Wenger, and then somebody else. Meanwhile, something had happened on the pitch which we didn't see. And then with the Ramsey foul, which got him booked, we were looking at something else yet again. And then the only time you saw it is when they quickly went back and you saw them, Iwobi, on the right-hand side of the screen, just kick the ball backwards. So I don't know if anybody else saw any more than that, because I've got no fucking idea of what happened. I thought it was a bit shitty of them.
Yeah, I think what I got from the early parts of the first half was everyone was trying a little bit too hard to do it on their own. I think it was a couple of cases with Alexis and Rambo just needing to, you know, release the ball earlier. Something that we've said before about like Jack Wilshere, but a lot of our players were just holding on to it, not releasing, and that was causing problems for us, a bit like Iwobi playing that late pass and causing problems for other players. With
Danny, are you done yet? Sean said you want a coffee.
I just got a text message offer. Look in your chat box, Dad. Oi, yo, Ohio. The little twat is in there. Jason is in there. Sean, Jason will ban you. Yes, I would like a coffee, thank you. She is my favourite daughter. The only one I have. And if anybody wants her, they can have her. Good luck. She's sat on her ass all day playing Forza 3 Horizon. She's very manly and she's better at it than I am. Anyway, here we go. Nicky B. He hasn't put Nicky B. I just used to say Nicky B. Not Bentner, Wilson. God, Yes, Sky and their offside lines. Oh, they do love a bit of that, don't they? They are. They're no stranger to that. And then, yes, have we finished talking about the Iwobi thing? Because my mate Lee, the dirty Tottenham fan, keeps fucking ringing and texting me. Fucking arsehole. Yes. Right, so all I've put after that lot, I've got a little bit discombobulated. So I've put go to kitchen, tin of mushroom soup, tin of chicken and mushroom soup, one bread roll, come back and have dinner. That's it. That's what I had, and that's where my notes stop. Apart from no changes at half time, why change something that's working perfectly? A. There you go. And that's not even in a Canadian A. That's just a general A. And there we go. That's my notes saved and closed. Now, you're on your own.
Okay. So okay. Shall we talk about the third goal for Bournemouth, the Fraser goal?
Should we go in for the disallowed one that was a little earlier?
Oh, yes, a couple of minutes before. That was the handball.
Yeah,
that the 55th
minute.
Yeah,
I think I was in the kitchen. Ball comes in from Harry Arter, smashing it from 25 yards. I thought initially it was offside, but I think it was handball.
I actually thought that was quite generous for us because was it King or Callum Wilson it hit?
Callum Wilson,
yeah. Because to me, when you watch it, it looks like he's trying to get out of the way, and he's tucked his arms into his chest, and he's definitely trying to get away from the ball. And I'm not sure where else he was going to put his arms. So I actually thought that was a little bit generous, to be honest. And it was, I don't know if it was going wide. A lot of people are saying it was going wide, so maybe that's why it was given. I don't know. It looked like it was going in, but I only saw it once, so. Yeah, a little bit lucky with that, but, you know.
The third goal, was that the one where he barged Bellerin out of the way?
That was the one where Bellerin was a tart and fell over, yeah.
Yeah, that I just come in from the kitchen and I saw that and I had to rewind it whilst balancing the soup and not trying to drop the only bread roll, which was fingered mercilessly by Tammy yesterday. Is this your bread roll? One of the way of bread roll, but that's a whole new story, but she kept touching it. And I've got to eat that, you dirty trollop. So, yeah, I saw that goal and I really did think that if... that some of those times those things are given, and if that had been against us, that would have definitely been a given a foul against their attacker, because isn't the benefit of the doubt meant to go with the defender, or has that all changed nowadays in modern football?
That changes when the defender's a massive pansy.
I know some people. I'll briefly give you my view on it. I don't see why people think
about Bellerin again.
I'm going to pick on Bellerin again.
Do you need a timeout?
I need to go sit on the naughty steps.
You certainly do. You go and get on the Christopher K. Carpenter steps. It's not K, is it? It's H's middle thing. Yes, you do.
Yeah, I don't know why people think that's a foul. It's just a player's not allowed to go shoulder to shoulder anymore. I don't get it.
They keep changing the rules, don't they? And they go from whether it being a rule giving the advantage to the defender, then they go and it's the referee's interpretation. Just make your fucking mind up. If he touches him, it's a penalty.
If that was, say, someone the size of Giroud challenging Hector Bellerin, then, yeah, you're probably going to give it as a foul. But that Fraser geezer is shorter than Chris. So, you know, I think he's the only player on the pitch who's probably shorter than Bellerin. Shoulder to shoulder, he's just out-muscled him. And, again, Petacek gets done at his near post through his legs.
I think we should give this one to Josh.
Yeah.
Again.
Yeah. Yeah. I think Bellerin was at fault for that. He's got on the wrong side of Fraser. So his only option is to go over to try and win a foul because he's not going to get a tackle in. And from that whole kind of counter, it was reminiscent of the Banter era. It replaced Bellerin with a Bouet and you're back in 2008. And yeah, Petacek, what a disaster. What absolute disaster that was for him. There's no way he should be beaten at all. He's got it all covered and he goes straight for his legs and my klaxon's already running out of air.
Someone's just put in the chat window and Nikki's put this. Bellerin has got a Cesc Alice band, ? Coincidence or Barca bound? Stop it, Nikki. You're a bad man. Good way. I think there might be a bad... Oh, Thunder Road is there. He always likes, gives me a giggle. So what's the next bit we've got to talk about? It's going to be... Is it our first goal?
You can do the subs, which came at 62 minutes.
And
Yeah, then.
almost on time, you could hear the cuckoo clock chiming in Wenger's head, coming up to the 65th minute. Ding dong, ding dong. Time to make a substitute. And he did. And it worked, didn't it? Go on. I don't have notes. I'm going blind here.
Is this back at me?
Yeah,
so Iwobi came on for Lucas and Koz came off, which we thought at first was just a case of a bit of rotation, but turns out he's injured. And my man Gabriel came on.
What is it with your love for him? Don't you think he's a bit of a liability?
He's a liability when someone plays him in the wrong side of defence. Fortunately, we played him in his rightful position, replacing Koscielny on the left side, because if I remember rightly, Mustafi takes the right-hand side of the centre-back pairing. And it's a bit like, although I don't want to use his name, John Terry can only play one side of the centre-back pairing. Gabriel is exactly the same. Doesn't
Tony
really
Adams
deal
used
with
to
that.
Be left.
Yeah, exactly. Now I've got a nicer player to use for that example. Yeah, it's just really good. And then we get the Alexis goal with the Ox showing off his crossing skills.
And what a cross it was. Oh, Jason's banned someone.
Canadian OG about this. When you ban someone in YouTube, a hammer appears, a literal wank hammer appears on the screen. It's fantastic.
Oh, it's genius. Yeah, John, what's your thoughts on that? On what Josh was just saying about the Ox and that brilliant cross? And is that the cross where it come off the back of Giroud and then Sanchez headed it in? I thought that was fantastic. Does that count as an assist, really? Isn't that a little bit unfair? He's like, it smacked him in the face and it went in, something like that.
No, I think Giroud gets the assist for that. That's just clever play, flicking it onto the back post. He's not going to be able to score from there. He's stooping down too low. And all Oxlade-Chamberlain, he's just done the right thing. Instead of looking up, he's just whipping the ball into an area where the striker should be. The man out wide shouldn't be crossing it bang on to the striker's head. The striker should be moving to the ball. And just put it in around the penalty spot. And a good finish from Alexis, who I did think up to that point had been fairly quiet, had moaned a lot and hadn't really affected the games. I know the commentary, because I was watching NBSC or whatever it's called, the American channel.
NBC.
They were saying that, he's on the left-hand side, so he can't really affect games. Well, that's nonsense, because for a whole season, he scored, 25 goals from the left-hand side and got a load of assists and stuff, so he can affect games from out there. So I just thought he was just having a poor game. I thought the subs, obviously, because the only one was forced. The only one I had a slight question about, obviously, Giroud was in the end involved in the goals and stuff, was taking off Iwobi. I know he gets tired towards games, but I just thought having Giroud on, we do tend to play a bit slower. And I thought you could have left Iwobi on and brought Perez on and, had a really fluid.
Why would you want to leave Iwobi on?
Just because he moves about and he moves the defence about. And I think if you've got that much movement up front, it's a lot harder for a defence that's sitting deep. Whereas if you've got one central striker who's fairly static in Giroud, don't get me wrong, he actually had a good game from when we got the first goal onwards. But I just thought it was a little bit harsh on Iwobi because I thought he'd played okay. And sometimes having that static striker it makes it easier for teams to defend against.
I suppose you've got a point there. Yeah, if you are running around like a lunatic, doesn't matter if you're doing anything or not, unless you're distracting the other players. Must be there blowing raspberries at their goalkeeper. That'd be just as effective at times. Nicky has put, oh, Jesus, he's going to depress us all. The Ox has been at Arsenal as long as Perez was. Theo has been at Arsenal 3 years more than Henri was. And Ramsey has been here as long as Vieira was. Right, anyone got anything sharp? I'm going to do myself an injury.
Oh, he's also said Fabianski only conceded one goal tonight. Oh, fucking hell.
And actually, Josh was having a go at Czech about 3 weeks ago, was it? The last time I hosted, and I asked you, were you doing it tongue-in-cheek? And you said no.
Yeah, Man City, wasn't it?
I think it may well have been.
Where he chucked a couple in at the near post, wasn't it?
Chucked them in. Oh, dear. Yeah, Jason has put, anybody named after that cunt is instantly banned. So no one changed your name to Robin Van Persie, or you will be banded. Right, going on to the next goal, which was only 5 minutes later, which was really nice. Fantastic for me. Lucas Perez doesn't get enough praise and doesn't get enough games for me. That bloke has got to be thinking, what do I have to do to get the a regular starting spot, or at least more often than what he already does. Because for me, I know you were saying about Iwobi that he runs around like a headless chicken, distracting people playing raspberries. But I'd rather see someone there who can score goals, who knows what he's doing. And I think poor old Iwobi has had a good run. Give him a rest now, and let the men come in and take over from the boys. So, John, do you want to talk us through the Perez goal? It's not because I can't remember, honestly.
I can't actually remember. Who made the pass now for Perez?
Giroud.
It was Giroud, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh, yes, yeah, I remember now. The little sort of 1-2 and the flick, and just the flick past the defender. The finish from Perez is brilliant because it's a really tight angle. First time on a volley, being closed down by the defender. It's very tight. Just superb. Really, really good goal. And we've seen a couple of times with him when he has plays and he's gotten the score sheet, whether they've been tap-ins or some better finishes, that he really does have an eye for goal. He's a bit snidey, likes a dirty foul when the ref's not looking, you know, tries to start a fight here and there. I like that about him. I think a lot of people were criticising him in the Palace game, which I thought was harsh. I thought he had a decent game in that. First 10 minutes were a bit wobbly, but, you know, he came into it more. You can see sometimes he's not quite reading the play of the other players as to what they're going to do, but that's just a case of he hasn't been at the club that long. And being able to second guess what an Arsenal team's going to do when they move the ball.
Even we don't know. We've been watching it for years.
So, you know, it's hard to get that sort of telepathy between the front players. But that finish was fantastic. I don't want to rave about it too much because, you know, it's a volley and he's put it in the right spot. But that's the sort of thing when we had Eduardo. You'd always feel when the ball dropped to Eduardo in the box, if he had half a yard, you'd always think, yeah, that's a goal.
If you listen carefully, you can hear Chris shed a tear when you said the word Eduardo.
Yeah, I know. I love Eduardo.
He was great. People go and have a look at him on Wikipedia and look at his goals there, the number of goals he scored when he was playing back in Croatia.
Just that natural, very old school in the box striker. If the ball falls to him, they're gonna find the tiny little gap. I just started reading Ian Wright's book. Funnily enough, and he was talking about when he used to do practicing after training at Palace and at Arsenal, and how he'd try and get like a little four square section of the net, and he'd hit the ball into it. And if he only hit one of the squares, then he'd keep doing it over and over again, so that if he just had half a second, he could bang, pick out that little square of the net.
You don't need to look up like Theo does.
Yeah, just natural instinct. Mm. Yeah, like you always say about being blindfolded, spun around 10 times and still find the back.
Don't quote me. And it's usually rubbish.
You know, he looks like he's got that. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he's a well-beater or he's amazing, but for the money we paid for him and what he offers to the team, I do think there's an argument for him, at least starting. I'm not necessarily saying up front. I think we see when he plays wide, he's very left-footed, so I think it makes more sense to start him on the left in a game. You can bring him right. Second half, maybe change things up a bit for him, cutting him. But when he whips the ball in, it's always done first time. You know, if there's space, he'll do it hard and low on the floor, so it's difficult for the defender. You know, he's got the awareness of when to lift it and when not. It's very, very quick balls and it's instant. And it's something we haven't had in the team for a while. Giroud seems to enjoy playing with him. I think Alexis does as well. Once they get a bit more of an understanding, then you've got a really great player there. I just hope he doesn't get treated in the same way that like Joel Campbell did. I think he's got a bit more about him than Campbell has. But you saw Campbell kind of got bombed out of the team and Wenger wasn't really keen on him regardless of what he did. So I hope that's not the case. And it is just, you know, his typical thing that especially with forwards, he does bring them in very, very slowly over time. So hopefully second half of the season, we'll see a lot more of him because whenever he's played, I've really enjoyed watching him.
Right, before we come to you to talk us through the third goal, Josh, just so you can get yourself ready, American Gunner has tweeted me. He says he's with me. Why does Lucas have to get to? What does Lucas have to do to get a start? He plays and is like Alexis, injects creativity to the game, which I agree. And then AB Changanzi, you knew I was going to fuck that. Basically changed his name on purpose to annoy me. He says, has Lucas earned a start now? I personally think he should have started quite a while ago. But it's guaranteed that if he does get his start, then he's going to get a few games. And then once he starts having a few bad games, then people are going to be on his back. That's the way of the Arsenal fans, isn't it? So, Josh, 92nd minute, Giroud goal, assisted by Xhaka. Tell the people what they want to hear.
Did you not want to mention the red card before that?
What time was that at? 82. I didn't make notes, did I? 82nd.
81st minute.
Oh, yeah, go on.
Francis red card for a tackle on Rambo. It's a dirty little scissor action in there from about a yard away. I think Michael Oliver was absolutely superb today. Got to give a referee credit when he's not Mike Deaning it up.
that has to be a phrase.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, he was really good. And it was a, I think it was a straight red. I think there's no grey area around that. He had to go. And then we retreated to, just before that, a Xhaka corner, which his corners were awful today.
That first needs one to be highlighted. The game, that come down with snow on it.
Yeah, there were some awful, awful corners that he was putting in. I don't know why someone just didn't say, mate, come on, switch over. It's a bit like England and Harry Kane taking them.
We have no luck with corners, though, do we? I mean, the last person we had at decent corners was probably Steve Williams back in about 1987. I don't know, how hard is it to get the ball, curl it in roughly over the centre spot, and then everyone dive it? That's all you have to do.
I thought Xhaka in the Palace game, his corners were really good. They were whipped in really good pace, but in this game, they were dreadful. They were really, really bad. But I thought in the Palace game, he was putting really, really good balls in the box. I mean, it might have been because Palace were so shite. Maybe they just look better. I don't know. But
yeah, Palace really can't defend a set piece at all. That's the biggest problem, and the reason why Pardew was sacked was because they cannot defend set pieces. So yeah, the Giroud goal, absolutely superb header with a kind of cross. I don't know if it's a cross, if it's not from outside the, well, you know, from the wings, but going in from Xhaka, meeting Giroud, and yeah, a lot of credit, because that is an absolutely superb header to put that into the bottom corner, just out of the reach of the goalkeeper.
Yes. And did you all jump up and down and do a little bit of sex, were
you? Oh, hold on a minute.
What? What's happened?
I'm going to complain now. I'm going to have another noise. Sorry.
Oh, what's Bellerin done now?
No, it wasn't Bellerin. This is Giroud. After he scores a worldie against Palace. Unbelievable goal. Brilliant. He plays pretty shit in this game, but in the end, he ends up getting two assists and a goal. Marvellous. But what does he do after we score? I mean, it's 3-3. He runs to the camera and the fans and does some stupid celebration showing off his scissor kick thing.
Oh,
instead of getting the fucking ball out the back of the net and putting it on the halfway line and trying to get the fourth goal to win. You're celebrating a draw, are you Spurs?
Want that on a t-shirt. You celebrating the Spurs, what are you? A draw, what are you, a Spurs fan? That's on a t-shirt, that has to be.
That really fucked me off. Why the look at me. Look, I could do a scorpion kick. Go and get a fucking ball out of the net and go and play and get another one before the end of the game. Really irritated me. Great comeback, but sorry, that fucked me off. Go on, carry on.
I'm just looking at what that little thing means last man tackle from the Ox. Yeah, so Josh, talk us through the last goal.
Yeah, I don't know what more to add to it apart from the celebration. That was. I did enjoy it, but then I realised that, yeah, it's 91st minute. We've got to get that ball into the centre circle and start pumping it back upfield again for the fourth.
Because we had another 4 minutes to go.
Exactly. But during that period, we could have conceded easily because.
We nearly did. Yeah, they run down the right hand side, didn't they?
That's so Arsenal. And I would have been thrown back into 2008 and waiting for Gabriel. Well, I don't know. Someone weird coming on. So like harsh of him.
Did either of you two think we could do this? We could get a 4-3 because we had two chances right near the end of the game. Had one cleared off the line. I think twice we had Perez go down the left-hand side and end up sliding out of the pitch with the ball. And if he'd have been there a foot closer, he could have curled that back in or hooked it back in for someone. John, did you think that possibly we could have got the fourth goal?
Yeah, I did because we had all the momentum. But yeah, just the way the team celebrated that third goal, but it wasn't just him, it was quite a few of the players. They were all like jumping about and I'm thinking, you go and get another goal. You've got Bournemouth, they're right under the cosh here. I think it's the first time in the Premier League that a team's come back from 3-3 this season or something, 3-3 down, and we hadn't come back from 2-0 down in the Premier League game since, I don't know, whenever, 1992, whenever the Premier League started. So go and get another one and put pressure on. But instead, we, celebrate that. And then Bournemouth go down the other end. And was it Harry Arter walked through our defence completely? And they've got 10 men.
Oh, someone's poo-pooing you here. Kev B says,
well, you know what?
Took five seconds to celebrate and then ran to the fans, then back to the halfway line, 5 seconds.
The fans would have cheered a lot louder if you'd gone and got the ball out the back of the net and just put a fist pump in the air as you're running back to the halfway line and got another goal. That's really fucking irritates me. Sorry, that just certain players and their mentality really does my head in. If Sanchez scores that goal, he gets the ball when he keeps going because he wants to get another one.
Sanchez would have done that. That's the French.
There's people in the chat cheering on Tottenham tomorrow. What's wrong with you?
I want to draw. I don't want Tottenham to win. Never want them to win.
Don't you cheer on Tottenham? Something wrong with you.
Yeah, so that's Josh has just put in there. Have anybody got any questions for the last 5 or 6 minutes? You get him in there. Oh, here we go. Janu has put, Stephen Nzonzi has been linked. Should we buy him if Coquelin is out for a long period? What do you reckon, John? Because I don't know.
He's at Sevilla or Valencia?
Sevilla.
Same thing. Yeah, he's been pretty good since he's gone to La Liga. He's a big unit. Should we go for him?
He was at Stoke and Blackburn, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was there. I think we looked at him before he went to Spain a couple of times, or at least we were linked with him. I don't know. I'm not sure it's what we really need. If we've got the money, yeah, I don't care.
Well, it says on Wiki he went there in 2015 for $7 million. And he has a buyout clause of £21 million.
I can't see us buying anyone in January.
No, really. I think Wenger's already said no.
Yeah, unless Coquelin is out somehow for the rest of the season, or something like that, then I don't see that happening, to be honest. But by all accounts, I mean, I don't really watch La Liga, but by all accounts, he's been doing really well over there. So maybe.
There you go. One for you, Josh, from Wreckage. Have you got any thoughts on Nzonzi before we move on to the next question?
No, I don't watch La Liga, so no, I'll just
it's watch rubbish. It. This one from Wreckage says, Josh, should we get rid of Ramsey? Jason doesn't hear.
Well, Jason's already going to kill me anyway, so maybe we can salvage something from this. No, we shouldn't sell Ramsey. I think he's still got a future at the club. What would be interesting is if Ozil went, because I think Ramsey would flourish in an Ozil-less system.
I agree. I think Ozil is the biggest restriction on the team. Not that I want to get rid of him.
We had that a few times, haven't we? Like when Henri played, everything was give the ball to Henri.
It's not that. I think it's the system. If you have Ozil, you have to play 4-2-3-1. And Ozil doesn't do enough in midfield. I think if he's not there, you can play 4-3-3, and I think that suits Ramsey much better.
You would be burnt as a heretic. You know that, didn't you?
I know. I'm not saying get rid of Ozil at all. I think Ramsey's a nice problem to have.
Yeah, I agree with John. Yeah, I don't want Ozil out, not by any stretch of the imagination, but Ramsey works better in an Ozil-less system.
Nico, lots of numbers, asks, what are we going to do about the goalkeeping department? We talked about that at the beginning of the show, and all three of us said maybe Ospina should be getting a... In fact, Josh said Ospina should play every game for the rest of the season, and me and John said, yeah, give Ospina a game, but Wenger won't do that, will he? Mike says, Josh, is it time to Pjanic? He's been a tit again, isn't he?
Yeah, that was a really interesting story that I saw come up as well. Especially as Juve have just bought a new midfielder, but I don't think they're going to get rid of Pjanic. I think Hernandez is more likely to leave there. I don't know if John would agree.
Sadly, Inter are now scraping the barrel, might have to sign Hernandez back. But I don't see why Pjanic would leave Juve for a start, and I don't see why they'd sell him. They spent a lot of money on him. He's starting to show what he can do there. And they're changing the system to accommodate him, Dybala and Higuain all into one team now. So I don't believe that story for a minute. I'm sure we looked at Pjanic when he was up for sale, but no, I don't think so. I'd happily buy him. He'd be a wonderful replacement for Santi in the long run.
How much would he be going for, do you reckon? 30, 40, 50, 100?
I'd imagine it's 40 plus, something like that.
Never going to happen.
Yeah, because of what Juve paid for him. But yeah, I don't see him. Why on earth he'd leave Juve? There's no need to.
Mabin asks, are we still in the title race? Yes or no, Josh?
Yes. It's an unconvincing one.
He's not about the Premier League race.
Oh, no. No, I think we're talking about Brighton for a second.
Come on, Brighton. Podcast.
Yes, really. I think we are. I think we're still in it because there's still 18 games to go. And, you know, London might get hit by a meteor while we're playing away. And all of Spurs and Chelsea somehow disappear.
I think all those poor Man United fans will end up croaking it. That'd be terrible.
Oh, yeah. That'd be awful.
What do you reckon, John?
We're not out of it, technically, because all there to be played for. But if Chelsea win tomorrow, it's how many points will there be? 11 points clear.
Is that all?
That's a big ask. Yeah, right. Chelsea are going to lose a game at some point. I think if they win tomorrow, don't they set a new record as well?
Yep.
For consecutive wins in the league.
They've just equaled ours, but then our record of 15 wins, I think, was over two seasons. It was one win in one season. And then the rest was
So I think if Chelsea win tomorrow and it's against a team that are okay at football, there you go, that's about as much praise as I can give them, then they look pretty much favourites, to be honest. Liverpool, the only other team looking like catching them, I guess, because they haven't got European football as well. Whilst the points are there to play for, I guess we're still in it technically. But I didn't think we could win the league this year because of every other team being better. Well, you're a bit romantic at times, aren't you, Danny?
Yes, dear.
A bit silly. But that's why you've got so many lovely candles. No, it's still there to play for, but yeah, it's going to need a serious turnaround from us and a serious dip from not just Chelsea, but Liverpool as well. We've got Man City above us. You've got Tottenham breathing down our necks. You've got Man United are only 2 points behind us now. It's going to be very difficult.
I say no. There you go. That was easy. Johnny Moon. Question. League now gone and 100 million spent. What do we do with Wenger? 2 more years? Josh?
Depends on the rumours with Allegri, but yes, I think we should probably keep him because I can't think of anyone better to come in at this moment in time other than the Allegri rumours that have gone. Everyone else seems pretty settled in their job. Don't really want someone like Eddie Howe at the moment. The guy needs to kind of prove himself with a club that's in Europe because that's what we're about now. We are also a club that fights in Europe. We need someone to take us to the next level and not really take a risk. And I think Allegri would be that choice. So watch his career go all Owen Coyle from now on.
John, what do you reckon?
At the end of the season?
Should Wenger get 2 more years after wasting all that money?
No.
Disregarded
this season. Would I have Allegri? Yes, I'd have Allegri. I also think that regardless of who we get, you can get the safest pair of hands in football. We're going to have there'll be some sort of reaction at the club, whether it'll be positive or negative. I don't know. Good chances it might be negative. Are you more likely to come out of it better if you've got an Allegri or Ancelotti type? Probably. I just think it's been time for quite a while for him to go. Yeah, he's going to get you top four most pretty much every year and get you to the last 16 in the Champions League. Great. If that's what you want, fine, but it's not what I want. I love the man, everything he's done. He's been brilliant, but sorry, Arsene, it's been time to go for a long time. If it's not Allegri, to be honest, I'd also take an outside bet like a Hasenhüttl or a Nagelsmann from the Bundesliga, Sampaoli. I'd take Simeone from Atletico. I know loads of people say, oh, I don't want to watch that football. Well, I want to watch my team win things. I couldn't give a shit what the football looks like. I want to lift the trophy at the end of the season. I quite enjoyed watching George Graham's Arsenal. Other people didn't.
But I was there. It was good. Wasn't always doom and gloom.
Yeah, so, you know, it's... I don't know, it's weird. I think if he gets top four again and whatever, then they'll probably give him a contract. The thing that annoys me is that I think negotiating contracts with the players who are doing them right now, them staying will depend on him, whether he stays or not. And I don't think it's fair of him, regardless of what he's done for the club, to wait until the end of the season to make his decision. I think that's bollocks because it affects what contracts we can sign with players and what position it leaves us in the summer.
Fair enough. Right. Well, question from Mika. He says, if Conte was Arsenal manager this season, would we be in the same position we are now? Josh, try and do that in under 30 seconds.
I think if Conte was manager of any team in the Premier League, bar Swansea, he'd probably have them playing in the system he'd want, and they'd be doing incredibly well because he's all about that system. We've seen what he did with Italy, and they were dog shit. Bruno prepares comparison. So, yeah, whether or not he'd be able to implement three at the back with us, he probably would have bought different players, to be honest. So, yeah, we could have seen Conte do very well with Arsenal. Some reasons similar to why I get someone like Allegri in. Similar manager, similar philosophies.
You'd be glad to hear, John. Funky Dino agrees. I want to see Diego. He's a nutbag. I'm a nutcase.
Oh, yeah, he likes Diego because he thinks he looks like a Colombian drug lord in his black suit.
And he also likes you playing Steve's messages on the Bluetooth, doesn't he? That was very funny. Yeah, there's plenty for next time he sees you. Steve has gone a bit crazy today with him. They're very good. Oh, here we go. Someone, Izzy, says, be careful of what you wish for, Arsenal fans, because if you lose your manager, you might slip down and get relegated or get relegated. Nah, that's not going to happen.
I think there is a danger. Obviously, whoever you get, it doesn't matter. There could be a real upset. You look at what happened to Man United. I think the difference is the Man United team that Ferguson left was absolutely awful, and he was just a wonderfully brilliant manager who managed to get that shite team to win the league. And then you saw how rubbish the team was with just a bang average manager. Whereas I think our squad is actually in a very, very good position, other than probably, you know, maybe the left back and right back positions in terms of cover. I think the rest of the squad is actually pretty good. And you're going to leave a very comfortable, well-balanced, for the most part, squad to whoever takes over. Ooh. So I don't think we're in the same sort of dangers as United in that sense.
John Obi's on one again. Oh, go on, Josh.
I'd follow on to that the way the squad is currently built, that any manager that comes in can implement almost any system he wants because we've got the personnel there to ship out to then bring in two players. We're basically two players away from any system a world-class manager wants to play. We could bring in Pep, we could bring in Conte for argument's sake, and we could just be two players away from exactly the system they want to play.
Yeah, I suppose. Jano is on one again. He reckons cricket is better than football and he wants to see Pochettino as manager. Oh, the poor boy. And we'll end this on a really good question from GreenNip84. Going forward, in brackets, future seasons, do you think the Premier League has become so strong that it is an advantage to finish outside of the top four so that you can have a run at the league the next season? I think that's a bloody good question. I think he's got a good point. You look in Liverpool a couple of years ago, Chelsea now. John, do this in under an hour if you can.
It's a big advantage. Chelsea and Liverpool obviously reaping the benefits of it, just playing one game a week. The restriction it places on your team on who you can buy, unless you've got a lot of money, is the one issue. So I think it's dependent on what team you are. Chelsea and Liverpool can afford to pay high enough wages to get players in who would be Champions League quality, at least, so they can really push for the title. I don't think the league's particularly that hard. I just think there's, you know, five, six teams that are very good and the rest of the league's pretty meh, to be honest. If you perform to your highest level, you're going to beat everyone else in the league, or at least you should do.
Jason has put, if you're not in Europe, it has an effect on the wage cap. Yeah, we talked about that a couple of podcasts.
Yes, less revenue is a big thing from what money you get it from, especially Champions League. Europa League doesn't really affect your revenue that much because you get bugger all for being in that.
Do you want to mention anything about that, Josh, before we go?
If I remember rightly, only one team has ever won the league when they've not been playing in Europe, and that was last season. So make of that what you will.
Oh, there you go. Right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. We've had quite a lot of people for me. We had over 208 people looking at the moment. It seems you prefer it when Chris isn't here. No, you're stuck with him. I don't know what's up with him. He's probably got his pirate cold because he lives on a boat in the ocean. It's quite cold this time of year. He's got the snivelling, dribbly flu cold. And if he makes it through the night, it will be a miracle. So, John, thank you very much for joining us tonight.
Thank you, Danny. Thank you for hosting.
If I was going to suggest you do it, but you'd have said no.
No, I'd be miserable.
It has been an hour and a half moaning about Bellerin. Josh, thank you very much for joining us.
That's all right. Hopefully my Czech rants weren't as bad as John's Bellerin rants.
Well, it's his own bloody fault, isn't it? If he'd pull his finger out of his ass, he wouldn't be moaned at by you. And finally, if you've enjoyed the show, I have been Danny. And if you haven't enjoyed the show, I've been Jason Davis. Yaki da. See you all later.
Three, that's a magic number.
Three.
Yes, it is. It's the magic number.
Three.
Somewhere in this hip-hop soul community was born three, may stub at me, and that's a magic number.
What does it all mean?
Difficult preaching is posthumous pleasure. Pleasure in preaching starts in the heart. Something that stimulates the music in a measure. Measure in the music, racing three parts. Casually see, but don't do like a soul. Cause seeing and doing are actions for monkeys. Doing hip hop, hustle, no rock and roll. Unless your name's Brewster, cause Brewster's a punk.
Three.
Parents let go, cause it's magic in the air. Criticizing rap shows you're out of order. Stop looking, listen to the phrase in Fred Astaire's. And don't get offended while Mace Dosido's your daughter. A dry camera roll system is now set. Fly around the store under Daisy Productions. It stands for the inner sound. Y'all in your Quebec, that the action's not a trick, but show me the function. Everybody wants to be a DJ, everybody wants to be an MC, but being speakers are the best, and you don't have to guess. De La Soul Posse consists of three, and that's a magic number.
Three.
This here piece of the pie is not dessert, but the course that we dine in. Three out of every darn time, the effect is when a daisy grows in your mind. Showing true position, this here piece is kissing the part of the pie that's missing, where that negative number fills up the casualty. Maybe you can subtract it, you can call it your lucky partner, maybe you can call it your adjective. But odd as it may be, without my one and two, where would there be my three? Mace Posse me, and that's the magic number.
What does it all mean?
Focus is formed by flaunt of the soul. Souls who flaunt style gain praises by pounds. Common on speakers who honor the scroll. Scroll written daily creates a new sound. Listeners listen, cause this here is wisdom. Wisdom of a speaker, a dumb and a plug. Set aside a legal substance and feed them for now. Get them high off this dialect drug. Time is a factor, so it's time to count. Count not the negative actions of one. Speakers of soul say it's time to shout. Three forms the soul to a positive sum. Dance to this fits and flex every muscle. Space can be filled if you ride like my lumber. Advance to the tune, but don't do the hustle. Shake, rattle, roll to my magic number. Now you may try to subtract it, but it just won't go away. Three times one.
What is it?
One, two, three.
And that's a magic number.
No more, no less.
No, 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 no more, no less.